So last week we started with John chapter 14, 26. And it says, but the advocate, and who is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. You notice in there what he does. He teaches and he reminds us. And in John chapter 14, 16, it says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, who is the Spirit of truth. And I would like to focus on the being of the Holy Spirit today and not what he does for us. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask that you would just take over this morning. I ask, Lord, as we have been in your presence this morning, as we have heard what you're doing around the world through individuals that you have called, I pray here this morning that you will give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to us. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you will just remove the veil today that guards our minds and our hearts sometimes, and I pray that you will just speak life, that you will speak truth, and that you will reveal yourself to us, and that you will show us the need that we have for you in our lives. And so, Lord, we just commit this word to you this morning, and we ask that you would bless it, and we pray in the holy name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. The Holy Spirit is a tremendous resource for the believer. We cannot even be saved without the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He helps us in our prayer life. The Bible says when we don't know how to pray, what? He prays for us. He gives us guidance. He gives us wisdom. He gives us knowledge. He empowers us to do the miraculous. He empowers us to operate in the gifts. And so these are things that he does in our life, and we see that they are necessary for him to do, be in us, so that we can do these things that he asks. And we need to get past the place where we kind of use the Holy Spirit, as I said, for when we use them. And we take them out of the closet, as I talked about last time, when it's convenient for our lives. And how many of us in our lifetime, if we were all truthful, we use some people sometimes. We use people without actually knowing them. And sometimes I believe we do that with our God, that we use him without really knowing him. Jesus said there's going to be a day that some people stand before him and they're going to say, Lord, we did this, we did this, we did this, and we did this for you. And what's he going to say? I never knew you. And so let's not use him. Let's know him. Let's get acquainted with the Holy Spirit and the importance of why Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem until you are endued on high. So very seldom do we concentrate on the character of the Holy Spirit. He is holy. That's not his first name, all right? That is his character. The word holy means morally and spiritually excellent. And in his case, we'll say perfect. It means dedicated or concentrated to God, devoted to service to God. So I want you to get the idea of what holiness it means, because if you don't even understand the word holy, then we're kind of lost before we even began. We are called to be holy people of God. The Holy Spirit is the one who lives within us. So we're going to go to Acts chapter 5. It's a story that most of you are familiar with. It's one of the lessons that we teach in Sunday school. And we're going to start with verse 1. It's the story of Ananias and Sapphira. And so as we begin here today, the first thought I want you to see here is perception. And these are two people that did not have a regard or had a disregard for who the Holy Spirit, they disrespected him. They dissed the Holy Spirit is what they did. And so there was a price to pay. But they had to deal with perception. So let's look at it. But there was a certain man named Ananias who with his wife Sapphira sold some property. He brought part of the money to the apostles, claiming it was the full amount. With his wife's consent, he kept the rest. Then Peter said, Ananias, why have you let Satan fill your heart? So let me just kind of say this. You can believe or disagree. I believe they were believers. They were part of the church. And they might have even been filled with the Holy Spirit, as many of the early church members were. So think about that as we proceed here. Peter said, Ananias, why have you let Satan fill your heart? You lied to the Holy Spirit and you kept some of the money for yourself. The property was yours to sell or not sell as you wished. And after selling it, the money was also yours to give away. How could you do this thing? How could you do a thing like this? You weren't lying to us, but you were lying to God. So as we look at this story here today, Ananias and Sapphira had a perception problem. They were pretending to be something they were not. And I don't know if you've ever done that in your life, tried to impress people, try to give people a false idea of who you are. But this is what was happening here. They had no perception or understanding of the holiness of the Holy Spirit. The misunderstanding, the meaning, they misunderstood the meaning of why people were sharing their assets. If you read the chapter before, you see that the church was bringing their goods to the church and distributing among those who did not have it. And we also have the story of Barnabas. If you know, Paul's traveling mate in the mission field. Barnabas was one of those individuals. They misunderstood the concept of what was happening here. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 32, it reads this. It says, all the believers, and I believe they were counted among them, were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything they had. I like that phrase there, they felt. I don't know if you've ever felt led to do anything in your life. But here we see, I believe, the leading of the Holy Spirit. These individuals, they felt, they were led, they were prompted by the Holy Spirit to do what? Sell their goods, sell their property, sell whatever, to what? To give it to the church for the distribution of meeting the needs of people. They were led. And we need to be sometimes aware of our motivations and the voices that are speaking to us. Because sometimes when we felt led, it's because we have an alternative motive. But I believe here in the early church that they were being led by the Holy Spirit to do this. We can be tempted to give the wrong perception or representation of ourselves. I don't know if you've ever applied for a job that required you to give a resume. Sometimes you just fill out an application, you hand it in, and they say yes or no. But there are jobs that actually require a resume for you to give a resume to get the job. And as a pastor, I've been a pastor of too many churches, and we had to have a resume prepared every time we tried out for a church. And I had a friend who was an English major. He was kind of a maverick. He was kind of an individual that you'd easily get into a doctrinal debate with. He was that type of individual. He liked to stir things up and get people wound up. And I showed him my resume, and he kind of had some suggestions. And he was an English major. He was a professor, and he's a professor in a college right now. And so that's what he teaches, how to get people prepared to write a resume so that they can get a job. And so he had some suggestions for me. And he did some things that I don't know that I really wasn't that comfortable with, but I kind of took his advice and I put it down on my resume. But what he did was he set me up for failure, is what he did. And when I went in for the interviews and had those initial interviews, they would ask me some things that were written on my resume. And what's embarrassing is when you don't have an answer to their questions. Oh, you want to be the leader of our church and you can't even explain your resume. That's kind of a scary situation. And I went home and I rewrote my resume. It was a lesson learned, right? I learned to be myself. And now you guys are stuck with me being myself. So I've said some dumb things in some of these meetings. And I've helped the Holy Spirit out. Sometimes I think I was anointed to be dumb. Because sometimes you go into a meeting such as trying out for a church, and you in your heart you really don't want that church. And so there's a number of times that I have sabotaged my own interview by saying something really off the wall. And I kind of look back and think, I think God had a hand in that, because I didn't want to go there anyway. Because as an individual, I would rather reject them than them have reject me. Is that the truth? So perception. We are caught up in this thing of perception. And it's a very dangerous place because perception, of course, can be deceiving. Because what we're actually doing is we're not only lying to ourselves, we're not only lying to others, but we are lying to God. And as far as I know, the Bible hasn't been rewritten or changed. And I read in there that lying is a sin. And I know none of you lie, so I'm preaching to myself. So the Holy Spirit, by his nature, convicts us of our sin, because holiness is his standard. It's in his name. It's written in the scripture. The Holy Spirit. And he lives within us. Guess what? He wants us to be holy. Hallelujah. Amen. He wants us to be people of integrity. So we see in this story that there is, they had a wrong perception, Ananias and Sapphira. And we see something happens here. The second thing I want to bring out in this scripture is that they were disciplined. Boy, were they disciplined. So we pick up in verse 7. Ananias is dead. God struck him dead. And now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in. Doesn't that sound right, guys? You go to church. We'll move on. 3 hours later. Past the starting time, your wife shows up. That was good. Anyway, that was enough. Now, if it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened, and Peter answered her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." And she said, "Yes, for so much." Then Peter said to her, "How is it that you have agreed together to test the spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in after digging a hole in the hot sun, filling it up. They have to bury someone else. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. It has often been said, and you probably have heard it, maybe you've even said it, that the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. I've even preached that, and I don't know if that is a correct word. He's not a gentleman, he's holy. That is a better perspective that we have here this morning. Because we agree that the nature of the Holy Spirit is something that we possess. We talk about the fruit of the Spirit. We teach our kids. We make up songs so that we can remember them, right? So the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. What else? Faithfulness. F before G. Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We acknowledge this. But sometimes we look at it as a quality that he gives us, but that's his characteristics. That's who he is. The fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit, of the Spirit. It's him. That's his character. That's his nature. But I also want you to know that he is also God. The Holy Spirit is God. And what do we know about God? God is holy. And how many know we are called to be holy? And in 1 Peter 1:15 says, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. So think about it. It says, so be holy. It doesn't say do holy. That comes second. Holy be, holy do. All right? The latter rain, look at that. The Holy Spirit disciplined and judged Ananias and Sapphira. He killed them. Do you call that a gentleman? He killed them. He wiped them off. He murdered them. I don't know what you want to call it. But it says that they fell down dead. He killed them. I believe we need to be more careful about the perception that we give other people. We need to be very careful. As I said, in doing so, when we give a false impression, we are lying to them. We are also lying to ourselves. But we are also lying to God. And we need to be very careful. Ananias and Sapphira weren't judged for being greedy. And sometimes we can pick up on that and think it all had to do with money. It had nothing to do with money. It was the perception that they were portraying. They were not holy at this moment and this time in their actions and their thinking and what they did. You know, that might be a good time to talk about tithing. But we won't go there, all right? So their sin was giving a wrong perception, because I believe they were Christians, and they might even have been Spirit-filled. And what they do, they involve the Holy Spirit in their deception. You know, Jesus often spoke in parables about deceiving people in the church. A lot of his parables were about individuals that were in the church that weren't really part of his church. The tares and the wheat. The great invitation to the wedding feast. The four soils. Over and over and over again, Jesus told parables about how the righteous and the unrighteous dwell in the church. That's kind of a scary thought. That in any given congregation around the world today, there are people that are going to heaven and there are people who are not going to heaven. And so here were individuals that were part of the church, and they were judged. We all face the temptation of putting out false impressions, perceptions to other people. I don't know, this morning maybe you came in and the first thing we ask one another is, how are you doing? And what's our answer? I'm doing great. I'm doing fine. I'm blessed. And it might have been the most horrible week that you ever lived through in your life. And yet we come in here and we put on this persona that, hey, I'm okay. I'm doing all right. I'm blessed. I'm a child of God. Just giving you something to think about here this morning. The truth is, there's problems throughout the church. I'm not talking about our church. I'm talking about the church. There are problems that people are going through. There are secret sins that people are messing with. There are unholy desires and habits in the lives of people. There are people walking in disobedience to God. There are strongholds in God's people. And yet here we go about saying, everything's fine, everything's okay, everything's wonder. Church, let's not be guilty of having a lack of holiness in our life, quenching the Holy Spirit. We don't need to invite God's judgment and discipline for us personally or the church. I believe we talked about this morning, we talked about Joshua going into the promised land. He said, what? Consecrate yourself. Get yourself ready. And no doubt we all want to see a movement of God. But church, we need to be a consecrated people. Or we're going to find ourselves in a situation which we find ourselves being maybe used by God, but not knowing God. And there will be a judgment day. God used a Pharaoh. God used a Judas Iscariot. He can use us for his purposes and his plans. But I encourage you today, think about it. Think about your life. The truth is we all need a dose of honesty, integrity, vulnerability, accountability. We do as a church. But I also believe it needs to be done with the right people. Yes? We need a good dose of the Holy Spirit. The convicting, healing power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what happens. As we're about ready to take communion here in a few moments, you know, our sins are as scarlet, what? And they shall be white as snow because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. So let me encourage you today. Allow the Holy Spirit to convict us. Allow the Holy Spirit to, once again, heal us and bring us to that place where we are his holy people. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5-8. Says this. It says, and have you not forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? He said, my child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline. And don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. Those are pretty harsh words. Those are pretty strong words. But it goes on and says, as you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Whoever heard of a child who is never disciplined by his father? If God doesn't discipline you as he does all of his children, it means that you are illegitimate and are not really his children at all. For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how. But God's discipline is always good for us so that we might share in his holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It is painful, but afterward there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in his way. And that's God's purpose in our lives. And this is what we're talking about in this story. We can't ignore it. I don't think God's going to strike anybody dead. But I believe that when he does discipline us and when he does bring it into our lives, we've got to repent. We've got to be ready. We've got to allow the Holy Spirit to do his work in us. So the third thing I want you to see here is we can give the wrong impression, perception. And I believe because God loves us, he's going to discipline us in some fashion, in some way, to get our attention, to kind of get us back on track. But I also believe when this happens, revival happens. There's a restoration, there's a healing, there's a time of refreshing, there's a recalibration that God does in our hearts, getting us ready. As we look forward to the vision of our church, if we want God to move, we want the Holy Spirit to be prevalent within our midst, then we've got to be a people ready to be used by the Holy Spirit. So let's go on here in chapter 5. It continues in verse 12. And the apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. Remember how we ended up, right? Fear gripped the church. Verse 13. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. And as a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on the beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and their tormented by impure spirits. And all of them were healed. So as we look at this scripture, we see some amazing things happening as a result of the discipline of the Lord. God is looking for a holy church. Discipline can produce good results. It produces a cleansing. It produces a purifying. It makes us holy. We are made holy because of the Holy Spirit. We look at Ananias and Sapphira. They didn't really have a chance to repent too much, did they? They were killed. But it produced a revival in the church and restored God's reputation in the community. When the Holy Spirit is acknowledged, amazing things happen. Incredible things happen. God's Spirit is poured out on those who recognize their need for Him. A pattern of revival is found in these first chapters of the book of Acts. On the day of Pentecost, we see that Paul preached. They were pricked in their hearts. And you can just show those scriptures, Daniela. And what did they do? They repented. And he said, turn to God and be baptized there in verse 38 in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, that you will, what? Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 4, verse 29, after standing before the Sanhedrin, they were gathered together there in that fourth chapter, verse 29. And now this was their prayer after being released. O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. After this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. And then we ran into that verse 32 where they began to give things away because they felt led by the Holy Spirit to do that. Notice it says there that the place was shaken by the Holy Spirit. And one of the things we need to be careful of is that we don't get stuck on the shaking. Because there is something they did. What was their response? It says that after the place was shaken, after they were filled with the Holy Spirit, what did they do? They went out and preached the word of God with boldness. So what is our idea of the gifts of the Spirit, the workings of the Holy Spirit? What do we want? Do we want just to shake the place? Is that our motivation? Is that our goal? Is that what we want? Yes. Yeah, it's part of it. But what's the rest of the story? You do something with it. We take the Holy Spirit and do what He's told us to do. Preach the gospel. Go into all the world. That's what we're looking at. That's where we want to head. That's why I'm speaking on the Holy Spirit, to kind of stir something up. We need the Holy Spirit. Yeah, we want the place shaken, but we also want to be empowered to do the work He's called us to do. So in Acts 5, we have the story of Ananias and Sapphira. So we have a choice here today. We can have a perception of the Holy Spirit dwelling among us, or we can have the real deal. We can have the real thing. We can either be playing church, or we can be the church. It's always nice to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit. But it's even cooler to be used by the Holy Spirit. It's amazing. The Holy Spirit is holy. So let's get rid of this idea He's a gentleman. He's the convictor in the church. He's the one who knocks us on the side of the head and says, let's get it right. He wants us to be holy because He wants to use us. We sing the song, prepare me to be a sanctuary. What's the next line? Pure and holy. That's our desire. That's what we're hoping. So, yeah, we've got our eyes on the bigger prize of what He can do through us, but let's begin right here, right now, and prepare our hearts to be used. Folks, we can't produce it on our own. And we're not called to keep it to ourselves. The Holy Spirit wants to work through us. And let me just say this, it's not by works, lest anyone should boast. He wants to do a great work in us. So if we can, we're going to get ready to take communion. Whitney, if you'll help me out here. Galatians chapter 5, 25, we're going to close with this verse here this morning. And this is right after the fruit of the Spirit is listed in Galatians. And it says, since we are living by the Spirit, if you have Jesus Christ in your life, you have the Holy Spirit in you. Let us also follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. So I highlighted those words, living by the Spirit. If we're living by the Spirit of God dwells within us. Let's follow the Holy Spirit. He wants to lead us to places we've never been before. He wants us to accomplish things we've never done before. That's how exciting this thing is. But we've come to the place where we're just kind of satisfied. Ushers, if you'll come and get ready to serve. As I've said before, and I'll say it again, if this is all that your Christianity is about, you're missing the big picture. God has so much in store for us. He does. This morning, let's just examine ourselves as we prepare this morning. What kind of perception am I laying out for people to see? Let's learn to be honest. Here it is. This is what you got. Let's not deceive ourselves. Go ahead, sir. So let's not deceive ourselves. Let's not deceive others. Because we're surely not deceiving the Holy Spirit. He knows. And he recognized what was in the heart of Ananias and Sapphira. I don't know what you think about them. If they were truly saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, think about it today. Think they're in heaven? Think about it. Just because you discipline your kids doesn't mean you're not your kids anymore. Just food for thought. God has a revival for each one of us. He has a revival for our church. Hallelujah.